Sunday the 3rd of July 2016, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, The Parables. Sermon title, Be Ready. Bible reading, Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Talk by Roger Whip. The original recording of this talk did not include the Bible reading, so I'll read it in for you now. It's Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 1, the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins, who were ready, went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father God, we do indeed thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your written word. And Lord, it's my prayer this morning that just as I was challenged as I prepared this talk, Lord, people may be challenged by your Holy Spirit. A Holy Spirit that does not condemn but convicts us of our need for change. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read to you a letter from a boy scout sent back to his parents from camp. This is what it says. "Dear Mum and Dad, we're having a great time here at Camp Catch a Cold. Our scoutmaster is making us all write to our parents in case you saw the flood on TV and are worried. We're okay. Only one of our tents and 2 sleeping bags got washed away. Luckily, none of us got drowned because we were all up on the mountain looking for Charlie when it happened. Oh yes, please call Charlie's mother and tell her that he's okay. He can't write because of the cast. I got to ride him on those search and rescue jeeps. It was neat. We never would have found him in the dark if it hadn't been for the lightning. Scoutmaster got mad at Charlie for going on the hike without telling anyone. Charlie did tell him, but it was during the fire, so he probably didn't hear him. Did you know that if you put a gas cylinder on the fire, the gas will blow up? The wet wood still didn't burn, but one of our tents did. Also some of our clothes. Johnny's going to look weird until his hair grows back. We'll be home on Saturday if Scoutmaster gets the car fixed. Wasn't his fault about the wreck. The brakes worked okay when we left. Scoutmaster said that the car was old and you had to expect things to break down. That's probably why he can't get an insurance on it. We think it's a neat car. He doesn't care if we get dirty, and if it's hot, sometimes he lets us ride on the tailgate. It gets pretty hot with 10 people in the car. He lets us take in turns of sitting in the trailer until a policeman stopped and talked to us. Guess what? We've all passed our first aid and merit badges. When Dave drove into the lake and cut his arm, we got to see how a tourniquet works. Also, Raymond and I threw up. Scoutmaster said it's probably just food poisoning from the leftover chicken. We'll have to go now. We're going to town to mail our letters and buy bullets. Don't worry about anything. We're fine. love your son. Oh, and P.S. How long is it since I had a tetanus jab? I wonder how many of us were in the scouts or the guides. Who can remember not only the motto, but the promise that you made? And Maggie reliably informs me the scouts and the guides are the same apart from the word scout and guide. On my honour, I promise that I will do my best to do my duty to God and to the Queen, to help other people and to keep the scout or guide law. And the motto, of course, was, be prepared. Be prepared for what? Somebody once asked Baden-Powell, the founder of the scout movement. Why, for any old thing, said Baden-Powell. The training you receive in your troop will help you to live up to the scout motto. When someone has an accident, you'll be prepared because of your first aid instruction. Because of your life-saving practices, you might be able to save a non-swimmer who's fallen into deep water. But Baden-Powell wasn't thinking just of being ready for emergencies. His idea was that all scouts should prepare themselves to become productive citizens and to give happiness to other people. He wanted each scout to be ready in mind, body and spirit for any struggles and to meet with a strong heart whatever challenges might lie ahead. Be prepared for life, to live happily and without regret, knowing that you've done your best. That's what the scout motto means. I wonder how many Christians can say that they are prepared. Prepared for what? The second coming of Christ. I wonder how many of us could say, hand on heart, on my honour, I promise to do my best, to do my duty to God, to help other people and to keep God's laws. You know, promises are a bit like babies. They're fun to make, but hard and sometimes painful to deliver. I know I actually delivered 33 when I was on the ambulance service. Why is it that so often many of us are unprepared, leaving things to the last minute? Roy Hodgson, the England manager, bless him, Jesus loves him. Yeah. No, he didn't seem to have made plans, or if he did, they were the wrong plans. You know? And certainly he left it right till the last minute to bring on Marcus Rashford to bring us a glorious victory. Sadly, to no avail. Even though Rashford did more good things in 4 minutes than the rest of the team put together. You know, all credit to Wales. And do you know one of the reasons why Wales are doing so well? They come up through the ranks, from the under-17s, the under-21s. They've had close fellowship. They wasn't individuals. They work for each other. That's a message on its own for the church, isn't it? Now, one of my favourite TV programmes from years ago was MASH. Some of you probably would have watched it, the older ones. It ran for 11 series and 256 episodes between 1972 and 1983. The show was based around key personnel in the United States Army Mobile Army Surgical Hospital, hence the word MASH. And it took place in the Korean War between 1950 and 53. In one episode where Hawkeye, that's played by Alan Alda, is called out to the front line due to the shortage of doctors there. And when he arrives, there are bombs and bullets flying all around. And he suddenly realises that his own life is in great danger. So in a few spare moments he has there, he takes time to write out his last will and testament. Eventually, another doctor arrives at the front and Hawkeye is able to return to the relatively more safe 4077 MASH unit, his own base. He arrives back late in the evening and he enters the office, sits down at the desk and works on the conclusion of his will. Private Klinger, you may remember him, the had little glasses, didn't he? And it's quite a funny character. He comes in and he sees them and he asks him what he's doing. And Hawkeye tells him, and Klinger responds by saying, "No paperwork is so important that it can't wait until tomorrow." Now, Martin, all right, confirmation for you, mate. All right. Hawkeye looks at him thoughtfully and says, "I used to think that way too, but not anymore." It was not until Hawkeye experienced his close encounter with death on the front lines that he came to the realisation the great importance of being prepared for death and living each day to the fullness. Regardless of our age, death is a common denominator. We can't buy an exit clause. Few can plan for it, and it can happen at any time. I shall never forget nearly 32 years ago talking to the then curate of my local church in Collier Row as he tried to teach me about Christianity with the prospect of me becoming a Christian. He told me that regardless of my past, God will forgive it all. Being only 37 at the time and in the police force, where in those days you worked and played hard, you know, I replied, "Well, if that's the case, I'll carry on living my ungodly lifestyle. Then when I'm really old, like 60 and over, I'll then repent, be forgiven, and make my commitment to God, which will gain me my access to heaven." To which replied, "Oh, that's okay. But do you really know what day you're going to die on?" He said, "You know, I'd like to take your funeral for you." And he took out his file of fax, no iPads or iPods in those days, and he said, "Would you like to book it now?" Oh boy, like Hawkeye, that for me was a wake-up call. Obviously, I did eventually take that step of faith, like we have to. But as I prepared this talk this week, I have to ask the question, am I really prepared for either my death or the second coming? Are there areas in my life that need the light of Jesus to shine more brightly and dispel the darkness? Now, appearances can be very deceptive. The foolish virgin bridesmaids in the gospel reading, you know, they looked, dressed and marched like bridesmaids. They were pretty, radiant and even charming on the outside. Hence why they're referred to in the Bible as being virgins, pure, lovely. But they were dreary, dim and dull on the inside. And just as Hawkeye faced a reality check, I think so must we. You know, Jesus gave this parable to clarify what it means to be ready for his return and how we should live until that moment. He teaches that every one of us is responsible for his or his own spiritual condition. You know, on the day of judgment, it's no good you saying, "Oh, Martin never warned me about that," or "Roger didn't use that in the sermon." You know, you have some responsibility in your own growth. This parable is about a wedding. On the wedding day, as was the custom in those days, excuse me, the bridegroom went to the bride's house for the ceremony. Then the bride and the groom, along with the great parade of relatives and well-wishers, returned to the groom's house where a great feast took place. Often a wedding could last up to a week in those days. Now these bridesmaids were waiting for the parade and they hoped to take part in the banquet. But when the groom didn't come at the time expected, five of them were out of lamp oil. By the time they purchased extra oil, it was too late to join the feast. When Jesus returns to take us, his people, his bride, to heaven, we must be ready. Spiritual preparation cannot be bought or borrowed at the last minute. Our relationship with God must be our own. You know, I am convinced that unless you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ whilst you're alive, it'll be too late once we die. People often ask me the question, how would I describe heaven and hell? My answer to them is not that God's up there in an armchair and the devil's down there with the furnaces, but my answer to them normally would be something like, you know, for me, heaven is the continuation of being as one with God, knowing his blessing, receiving his peace and comfort that passes all human understanding. Hell would be a total separation from God and his blessing. A business executive had an emergency and he needed his suit dry cleaned before he was called off on a troubleshooting trip. He'd spilt coffee over himself, so it needed to be cleaned. He remembered one store with a huge sign, 1 hour dry cleaners. It's on the other side of town, so he drove out on his way to drop off the suit. After the shop assistant filled out the necessary information, he told her, I have some errands to run, but I'll be back in an hour to pick it up. She said, oh, I can't get it back to you till Thursday. I thought you did dry cleaning in an hour, he said. Oh, no, she replied, that's just the name of the store. We don't actually do that. You know, there are many people today who wear a sign saying they're Christians, but they fail to deliver the goods. There are many churches who do not deliver on what the sign out front says either. If there's one thing that you and I really must grasp, it'd be this. Spiritual readiness, preparation and growth does not just happen. It comes as a result of intentionally taking on God's habits and building them into our own life. You cannot depend on a Sunday morning service to provide all your spiritual needs, including salvation. Like me, you're probably sick to death with hearing the fear factor mentioned that has been spread by politicians, who, shall we say, were less than economical with the truth. One of the worst things that we could ask or expect from God is give us what we deserve. Although who would deny God's abundant grace and mercy? But who would blame him if, because we are only one day a week Christians, all he offered us was one day a week in heaven and six in hell? However, the biblical truth is not even that is up for grabs. Now, this isn't Roger telling porky pies, all right, like some of the politicians. Hear the words from the lips of Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Hear what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters or adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And for those that think Paul is a male chauvinist and don't like listening to what he says, hear what St. John says in the book of Revelation 21 verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and the liars will all be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Grim news. However, the hope factor, the good news, is that heaven will be full of such people. People like you and me who have fallen into those categories. However, it will only be those who, as St. Paul puts it, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Isn't that good news? You know, just as the businessman's suit needed the stains removed, so do many of us. The good news is that we don't have to wait till Thursday, or not even for an hour. Right now, at this service, as we prepare ourselves for communion, we can receive the promise of eternal life by God's grace and mercy. If we truly repent, that isn't just saying sorry, that's just turning and completely away from the sin. We then have the promise of eternal life. Then, hopefully, we'll be able to shine more light and love for Jesus in our lives. For Christians who truly do the will of God, when we die or when Jesus comes back, we will receive clean clothes of righteousness to equip us for heaven. The Bible tells us that. In early 1874, an inventor named Elisha Gray transmitted a few musical notes over a telegraph wire. He thought to himself, if I can send music, perhaps I could send the human voice. The New York Times reported predictions of a talking telegraph. Excuse me. And the public began to grow eager for it. Just 1 year later, Gray believed he had the answer. Tin can-like voice chambers connected by a wire in a liquid that could turn vibrations into signals is what came into his mind. However, he did not put his idea on paper for 2 months. After finally making a sketch, he waited 4 more days before he went to the patent office. When he arrived, Mr. Gray was told that just 2 hours earlier, a school teacher had come through the door with his own sketch and had already applied for the patent. His name was Alexander Graham Bell. When you compare the sketches, the voice chambers, the wire and the liquid, everything was identical. The reason we know the name of Alexander Graham Bell, and until today probably never heard of the name of Elisha Gray, is simply because one man seized the opportunity when he could. The other one waited until it was too late. One moment's delay may usher in an eternity of regret. Amen.